Hey, everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Packers' 27-17 loss to the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football. Eric, lots to talk about. A big, big, big come down after the Packers upset the Cowboys the previous Sunday. Lots of things to talk about, but let's start with what's the lead item of the column that we have that goes with this too. You know, the Packers, we talked last week about there's going to be a point where they miss Rashawn Gary. He's just too good a player. And I think that happened Thursday night.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, there was zero pressure with their front four. I mean, very little, nothing that was going to be disruptive. And the way that they play defense, especially on third downs where they sit in play coverage, you got to get to the passer. You got to move him off his spot. If you're going to play zone, you're hoping for mistakes. You're hoping for to get him off his spot so the ball goes up. You're in zone. You should be able to adjust to the ball, multiple players sometimes, adjust to the ball, pick it off, do all those kind of fun things. But when the quarterback is back there on his armchair, cracking a beer and reaching for some potato chips before he throws the ball, it's not feasible.
So it's a manpower issue. I mean, their best outside rusher is Preston Smith, and he's okay, but, you know, he's not a guy teams have to double team. There's nobody. I mean, Kenny Clark is their best rusher, I should say. Their best rusher overall is Kenny Clark, and that's the one guy they do have to double team. And you had an idea I didn't even think – wasn't even on my radar, but you have a thought about something that they should try, because they got to do something to get some more rush here, something they should try down the stretch here with one of their high draft picks.
Right, and they're going to be facing some quarterbacks that they're going to have – if they want to – be good. And I think this is when they drafted Quay Walker, one of the things I said, I don't know if it was you, Pete, or some of the other guys, that I envision him long-term being an outside backer. And I think they sprinkled them in a couple times in nickel situations a few weeks ago. And the amount of time that he's been playing on the edge has increased steadily. It's, you know, and then of course, when they ran that four-man D line at six man front, they had him playing exclusively on that outside edge. And I was surprised at how well he held up in the run. But I think with that blitz that he got off the inside and he got in on the quarterback there, I think that they got to do something there. And I think he's the answer. I think they got to give it a shot. With Chris Barnes back, they got another capable backer. So if you have Chris Barnes and Devondre Campbell back, you got a good inside crew. Why not sprinkle Quay Walker in there and see what he can do? Or if he's going to line up inside, have him blitz, move him around, be kind of like that elephant defensive end or outside linebacker from the days past. But I think there's opportunities there for him. And because of his speed and his physical attributes that he has, long arms, all that stuff, he could be a really good pass rusher if you know, they work at it. But it seems like they're giving him more opportunities. So my feeling is, they must be seeing the same thing that I'm seeing.
Yeah. I wonder, because I just got done rewatching the game, and the one thing is, whenever they were playing over there, they played him over there. I think it was on almost every snap. There might have been, you know, I'm guessing, I haven't added it up, but it was probably about, I don't know, 8 or 10 snaps where he played over there. There might have been one where they were in their base defense. The rest they were in four defensive linemen, one outside linebacker and one side, like Preston Smith say. And then Walker would line up at the other. So it was a six-man front. So it was basically a run defense. And from what I saw, every time they did that, they dropped him. If it ended up being a pass, he dropped into coverage. So this would still be a change from what they did there. But you also had an observation about, because his inside blitzes, and he even did get in on that sack. But you have an observation about, you know, maybe he still is learning how to be an inside blitzer, and that he's got to turn up the juice a little bit when he's shooting those gaps.
Right. He's a 4-5 guy, and he doesn't 4-5 it when he's going after the quarterback. And I think his timing could be just a little bit better. The interesting thing about blitzing from the inside is, if you pause for just a second, now the guard and center, you know, so you have a guard center guard that got to block two guys. And if you allow those guys to engage for just a second, and then you rip off your 4.52 speed and get in the quarterback's face with those long arms, I think that's pretty effective. And what happened is he beat the block of Derrick Henry there, which, you know, he's a big dude. I'm not so sure he's the worst blocker in the world, and I thought that was pretty good. The other thing that they did with him that I like is, you know, when they really want to get him moving towards the line of scrimmage, they just like do run blitzes or mug him up a little bit. So I think there's opportunity there. I don't know if he did much of that in college. I'll have to go back and look. But I really think that, you know, you can't teach speed. You can teach pass rushing moves. You can teach technique there. But 4.52, you don't teach that. And I think they got to take advantage of that and try to do something to get after the quarterback, because their blitzes are so vanilla, bland. All they're doing is pinching the outside linebacker down a gap, and then they bring a safety or they bring the nickel. And it's boring. It's not imaginative. And if they're going to get to the court, I mean, you can't give up 27 points every week and expect to win a ball game. It's tough.
You know, I'm more skeptical than you that they're thinking along the same lines. It just seemed like a run defense thing that they were putting him out there. They just wanted a 6-man line. Joe Barry seems really locked in on what he thinks guys can do. And he seems slow on the slow end to adjust and to mix things up. I think, you know, Capers would have been more open to moving guys around. I'm not sure about Pettin, but I think Barry's been slow on that. So I'm not so sure that they're going to do this.
They may not be. I'm telling you, that's what I think they should do, because they're going to have two capable linebackers that can play inside. And quite frankly, Quay Walker against the rush is terrible. I mean, he's a liability out there. He gives up a lot of yards by being on the field. And why not use his ability in a position where he can affect the ball game and give them a need of something they don't have? And, you know, after watching Barnes the last couple of weeks, I still like him. He's not super flashy. And pair him up with Campbell, I think they're in good shape. I really do. And he's played a lot of football. And, you know, if you're looking at the, you know, you're kind of like the kid standing in front of the dike with a bunch of holes in it. You got to find a hole to patch at this point. And, you know, why not? What is it going to hurt him?
Yeah, and the plays Walker makes in the run game are when he chases. There was one where Derrick Henry had it was one of the few times they ran him wide. And Walker chased it down and, you know, tackled him for a 2 or 3 yard gain. It was, you know, it was impressive. He does have really good speed, but he's not stout in there at all. I don't know. We talked about this earlier in the year, but I wonder, can they change the way he plays, or is he who he is? You know, will this be any better next year if they decide to keep him and play him strictly inside?
That's a really good question. And I think some guys can. I that's a great question to look at some of the high draft pick linebackers. Their season, it seems like they're either got their hair on fire and they're playing mad, or it takes them a season for them to come out. And I'm hoping that's the case for him, because I think he's really got some talent. But he's got to get a mean streak if he's going to play there and be good. I mean, you look at those two backers from Tennessee, man, those guys.
Yeah,
those
that's guys
had a mean
let's,
streak.
Let's talk about them, because that's the perfect segue into the second item that we wrote about. But those guys, a couple times last night, I just watched the inside linebackers just a couple times, and every time they were downhill, like almost right on the snap. They were reading it fast and shooting before the blockers could even get out on them. They were pressing the line of scrimmage and either changing the running back's direction or making the tackle.
Well,
it was long, sure. What is it? Long and cold. I didn't know anything about either of those guys coming into this game.
No, but look, it doesn't matter. It's all about technique and run fits. Look at the difference between the Packers run game and run fits and this run fit. Packers couldn't run the ball very well because they had the line of scrimmage plugged up, and their linebackers weren't standing there catching blocks at 4 yards. They were bringing it to them, and sometimes they were in the backfield before the lineman could barely get moving. And they, you know, it was really tough. One of the things that the Packers have been very good at with their offensive line is being able to get out there and get backers. They couldn't get out there and get the backers because the backers were on them. And that, you want to stop the run? I mean, that's how it's going to be done. But I think the scary part is for a lot of defensive coordinators, if you're going to play that way, is the play action. You're opening yourself up to play action pass because those linebackers are three steps towards the line of scrimmage before they realize the quarterback still has the ball. But you know, if you're physical, I mean, that was a physical defense, and they're not a bad football team. And I think a lot of us maybe overlooked this game and thought, oh, the Packers are going to beat up after they beat up the vaunted Dallas Cowboys. And I don't think that's the case. I think the Packers got beat by a good physical defense. They had that attacked the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, these guys took Kansas City to the wire. And I'm not even sure. I got to go back and look. Mariota might have been the quarterback. Or not Mariota. He's with the Atlanta. Their backup might have been the quarterback in that game. Because there was Tannehill missed a couple weeks there. Oh, yeah, it was Malik Willis. And that's one of the reasons they lost, a couple weeks ago, is that guy's just not ready to play. So I think they are pretty decent. And, in fact, you know, I think if you picked out the five teams that the Packers would least want to play and that they would struggle with, there are teams better than Tennessee, probably. I think Tennessee would be one of those five teams. I thought that this was a really bad matchup for the Packers, and everybody overreacted last week to them beating Dallas, and now they're overreacting this week that this is the worst. You know, it's like the Packers are the worst team ever, and I think they have something going for them with Watson. It's just way too little, way too late, but, you know, I don't know. Let's talk about where they go from here. How do you think they finish out? We talked about this a little on the phone today. I'm thinking they finish out 3-3. What do you think?
Well, after Detroit, remember the question? Remember we kind of got in a little bit of a conversation, a little argument? Like, yeah. Who are they going to win? Who are they going to beat?
Yeah, that's what you said. That's exactly what you said, and that's exactly how you said it. And then they came out and beat
the Cowboys. Yeah. I look like I'm soaking wet, right? But yeah. I don't think – But the Cowboys didn't. I mean, the Packers did beat the Cowboys. We know that. The Cowboys lost.
But other teams, you know, lose games, you know.
Sure. More games are lost than won.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I mean, more games are lost than won. And I look at where do they go from there? I think this is a great opportunity for LaFleur. If he can keep that team playing and start getting some momentum for next season, especially with the young guys, they got three young receivers out there that seem to be able to play a little bit. So let's work on focusing on that. Let's work on getting some young guys some playing time. But more importantly, they got to keep them together. I mean, the sign of a great leader and a great coach is if that team can stay together. If that team falls apart, I think it's going to be rough sledding for not just next year, but a lot of years. I mean, this is LaFleur's opportunity. This is his time to be the Newt Rockne, right? General MacArthur, and get this thing righted, and or go south. There's not a third way. You're either going to go south, or you're going to try to keep him playing hard and doing stuff, and hopefully he can do that.
You know, one thing that I'll say about McCarthy is, I thought he, when they hit rough spots through his tenure up until 2018, his last season, I thought he did a really good job at holding things together. He did, even his first year, I think they might have won like their last four games that year to finish 500, if I remember right. And yeah. I thought that was one of his, whatever, you know, I know there's a lot of people who didn't think highly of him, but whatever you thought his weaknesses were, I thought that was a real strength. I think you're right. This will be a big test.
Yeah, McCarthy did do that. You know, think of the things that he had to face, you know, when the train left the station and all of this, all the other stuff that kind of went down. He held that thing together, and that thing could have went sideways in a hurry, because I'm sure the locker room had to have, you know, had to be a little bit split, but he held it together. And
oh, for sure. It had to have been split about quarterback.
Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't know if you sit down with the quarterback and you just say, hey, listen, we need you. We're looking for next year. So we need you to work with these young men and let's get them ready to play so that next year we can really be something. Defensively, I mean, I think at this point in time, you got to start throwing some spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. On paper, there was a lot of people coming back and everybody feels good about, but holy moly, the wheels have fallen off. And some of the coverages that they're doing with when they're, you know, they line up, it's a third and six. They line up with the D-backs are lined up with their heels at five. At the snap of the ball, they're at seven. Ball goes 6 yards. They fall down, tuck, and you get a first down. I mean, I don't understand that. They're not challenging it. You got no pass rush. So, you know, if you don't have any pass rush, the least that you can do is get in a receiver's way on the line of scrimmage and maybe slow up some of that timing. But man, it's just, we can't rush the passer and we're going to sit back and let people run around us. That to me is not winning. I don't understand it.
You know, and they're big decisions. Amos has been a really solid player. He's in last year of his contract, and it's not like they're just going to be swimming in salary cap room next year. Savage, they're stuck with him. They gave him the fifth. They exercised his fifth-year option last May. He's playing poorly, but those contracts are guaranteed. That fifth-year option's guaranteed, so they can't cut him. I think they need to move Rasul Douglas to safety because he's not a slot corner.
Got him playing on the outside now.
Yeah, but Stokes will be back. You know, they're not going to bench him, are they?
No, for sure. Well,
next year, so it'll be back to Stokes and Alexander because they don't seem to want to play Alexander inside. He may not want to go in there. You know, I think durability is probably the one legitimate concern about playing him in there is, you know, you got to do a lot of tackling and, you know, they don't want him breaking his hurting his shoulder again. But they've got a lot of personnel decisions to make. And Bakhtiari, I would assume he won't be back, right?
No, I don't think he's back. I don't think Savage is having that terrible of a season. I think they need, you know, if they lose Amos, I think that's a big loss because when they were in that heavy front yesterday, or a lot of times he's the safety a lot of times that moves up to linebacker depth when they need that. That's, you're right. There are some decisions on defense that are going to have to get made, and they're going to, you know, I think replacing Amos is going to be difficult, and I think it's going to be one of those things. It's like, you know, look how long it took to replace Butler, and then to get Nick Collins, and how long it took him, God, 6-7 years to get a safety to replace him. It's going to be. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I guess going forward, it's got to be about the future. It's got to be about maintaining and developing our brand and continuing our brand. This is Packers football, and and you got to play with pride, and you got to play with, you know, you got to have tradition in your hindsight, but the future in the front view vision. So that's a tough question. This is going to be a really, really good test for LaFleur
and Brian Gutekunst in the off season. So you never really did give a firm answer on this. And I, you know, acknowledge right off the bat, none of us knows how these last six games are going to go. Things change so fast in this league. It's so week to week. But if I absolutely had to make a prediction, I'm saying 3-3 to close out. What are you thinking?
1-5.
Well, that would land them probably in the top 5 or 6 in the draft. Pretty sure that would.
Yeah. Who are they going to beat? Detroit at home.
Yeah. Bears.
They're going to go down. The Bears are scoring 30 points a game. There's no way the Packers are going to be like.
Yeah, maybe they'll put together a game plan that'll keep Fields in the pocket and they'll make him become a passer.
Okay, so Detroit and Chicago.
And the Rams are terrible. The Rams are at least as bad as the Packers. Plus, Cooper Kupp's done. So I could see.
Yeah, but by then they'll have OBJ, right?
I could see him. OBJ's going to a contender. I could see him. So I could see the Packers winning that game. And you never know. I mean, you know, maybe Minnesota. Every team, these good teams, they have bad games. Maybe Minnesota has a bad. It's not like Minnesota's just out there crushing everybody.
Yeah, but you know what? With their record, they could rest guys the last 2 weeks of the season.
If they really right. They might. They yeah. Might. If Philadelphia loses a couple games, or if the Vikings lose a game or two and Philadelphia has it wrapped up, the Vikings might have whatever, either the 1 or 2 seed wrapped up. And so maybe they would pull back a little bit and try to keep some guys from getting hurt. You never know. I just think they're going to, my guess is, I still think they've got a little something going with Watson, that their offense is a little different and a little better now with Watson. And it didn't show Thursday night.
Because they're not going to win any more games if they're going to target Alan Lazard 10-plus times.
Yeah, but Thursday night, Tennessee was a terrible, terrible matchup for them. They're not going to face that good a run defense again.
If they threw to just Watson and maybe Tunyon, if they threw to just Watson and Tunyon, that'd be great. But he can't even hit Sammy Watkins. And then he throws it to Lazard 10 times. Come on.
Against Dallas, he didn't zone in on that one or hone in on that one guy. And I did watch that that third down, or was it fourth and three? You know, I just got done watching that. And
right there. How many targets did Lazard have against Dallas?
Yeah. And he just, So he threw that, he did throw that ball up to Lazard, and he had Tonyan on an out pattern where if he throws it right before Tonyan makes the break, he's plenty open. It's a first down. You keep the drive alive. It kind of reminded me of.
And you also saw Aaron Jones too running that.
Yeah. He was running over the middle. It reminded me of the last four plays against Detroit. It was kind of the exact same thing.
Or how about the playoff game to San Francisco, where he throws it into double covered Adams when there's Lazard standing there with no one within 15 yards of him.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. So you know, that's still probably the biggest reason that they're struggling is Rodgers is struggling. And he's up and down, and the thing that's a little dumbfounding is. I was at practice every day at camp, and he had a very good camp overall, and he looked as sharp as ever, but he has not played that way in the games this season. And I realized that the thumb injury, but he had the thumb injury last week against Dallas, and everything was right on the money.
It's the decision making.
Yeah,
he's the MVP, so he wants to. He's struggling. The team is struggling. He's throwing those passes because he wants to be the star. I'm going to throw this deep pass here on fourth and three and miss. He doesn't care. You know that it's wrong. I wish he would just, you know, like that. Just run the offense. When you run the offense, you look okay, like you did against the Cowboys. When you play Aaron ball, then, you know, you're it's good luck. And they got lucky on a couple of Aaron balls. You know, some of those deep passes to Watson, I mean, those were Aaron taking the shot, wanting to be the MVP. He's not a game manager. Look at the difference between Rodgers and the guy last night. Look at the difference. That guy is a game manager. I'm going to throw the ball, safe throws, make good decisions. Rodgers is a superstar. Rodgers is going to throw the deep passes, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's just different kind of quarterbacks. Can you take the fight out of the dog? I'm not sure.
So I'm not going to be the prisoner of the moment because he reverted back against Tennessee. I still think down the stretch he's going to have at least a couple games where he played like he did against Dallas. And I still think this was just the worst matchup almost that the Packers could have had, was playing this team that's pretty good but not great, but is strong where the Packers are weak. They can run it. Packers can't stop the run, and could match the Packers' run game with basically the league's best run defense. So I think the Packers' offense will look better in the final six games than it looked last night. That's just me. I could be all wet, totally wrong, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. It'll be fun to watch. There's some decent stuff going on both sides of the ball. I don't think they're going to bring it together. That's
so one. You say 1-5. I say 3-3. We'll talk about this on January 8th or 9th. I think the last game is on the 8th.
What are we going to bet?
We'll talk about this on the 9th. We'll bet whether we put your head up back up with that deer back there behind you.
I bought a couple pints of Guinness.
Yeah, let's do that. That works for me. Anyway, I'm just looking at the time here. We've gone over time. The sand has run out. So we'll wrap this up, but I just want to thank everybody for dropping by and listening. Remind you, we'll be back next week. You know, what is that? 8 or 9 or 10 days from now to talk about the Packers game at Philadelphia, but glad you came by to join us. And for Eric Baranchek, I'm Pete Doherty. This has been the After Further Review podcast.
Be good.